Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to our program. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, a hearty welcome, a very warm and hearty welcome to all our listeners to our program. And today we're going to actually be doing the growing child. And before that, it is health news. And today I'll just share with you some common summer diseases to look out for. So, and it's all about the flu, sore eyes, stomach ailments, skin diseases. That will be followed by the growing child. Joining me in the studio this afternoon is our community nursing sister, Sister Fatima Dawood. And today we continue discussing alarming but normal health issues in babies. And today, inshallah, it's really hot out there, and I thought let's look at how to keep your baby comfortable in the summer heat. And also, inshallah, we'll look at how to prevent some of those heat related illnesses, inshallah. Okay, so back to health news. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, even before summer officially begins, the Department of Health normally alerts against common diseases and conditions during the hottest time of the year. And as we all know, we are really going through some very, very hot heat right now. And yes, I thought let's do something about that. Now, this summer, millions of people will again travel far and wide seeking fun and entertainment. And some common summer diseases or conditions can adversely affect one's health and, of course, can also then affect your holidays. These diseases are sunburn, flu, sore eyes, stomach ailments, skin diseases, and sometimes also, depending on where you are, rabies. So these are some of the diseases that we're going to be talking about quickly. With much sun expected during the summer, the public is advised on timing their outdoor activities with sunlight, or rather when sunlight is not at its peak. Sunburn can be prevented if you time your outdoor activities. Outdoor activities must be done in the early morning or the late afternoon. For elders, you know, for their running purposes, many people run early in the morning or late in the evening, but it's advisable to do those outdoor activities early in the morning or late afternoon. You should avoid the sun between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Hide in the shade or seek cool places to prevent ill effects of too much sun exposure. Also, to avoid heat stroke by drinking 8 to 12 glasses of water a day, remember not to stay under the sun too long. And the public can also benefit from some of these tips. Right, let me share those with you. Use of sunscreen products at least 30 minutes before going outdoors is also greatly encouraged. Flu symptoms such as colds and coughs are also common during the summer because of erratic weather that sometimes causes rain. Cough and colds easily spreads even during the summer months as erratic weather brings sudden downpour from time to time. Senior citizens are advised to get vaccinated against influenza before the flu season begins. And because of the spreading of the viruses that infects the respiratory system, health officials advise those who are feeling sick to stay home and to always cover the nose and mouth when coughing or sneezing. And this is something that's very important, and also coughs and colds are very common during this hot season. And then many people, or many airports rather, all over the world will continue to screen travelers as a routine precaution to prevent spread of diseases that may spread internationally. And the public is also warned against the consumption of street food and those that have been prepared beforehand, as these may be contaminated or have spoiled faster because of the warm temperature. You know, we sometimes tend to cook our food early in the morning and try and, you know, so that you can get done with all your work and your cooking and all that. But we need to be very careful how we store that food, because like they say, it can get contaminated, it can be spoiled, and then that can cause problems. Vomiting and diarrhea follows consumption of contaminated food or drinks. This summer, be cautious of street foods, and even with those prepared for out, of town trips, your patko. Sometimes we make our patkos, you know, we need to be careful about that as well. Remember that food spoils easily during hot summer months. As people cool themselves down from the heat by going to the beach or swimming, they should also be wary of skin diseases from dirty water, whether in beaches or pools. Skin diseases abound when one swims in dirty water or unmaintained public swimming pools. So very important for us to make sure you know where you are going. You know, instead of just jumping into any pool, make sure it's a clean pool that you decide to jump into. Also, very important, remember to take a bath before and after plunging into the pool. And please, you know, people sometimes do this. They urinate in the pool. This is not supposed to be done. Inadequate water from the dry season can also cause skin problems because of lack of bathing. And sore eyes or conjunctivitis when mistreated can lead to blindness. More than just eye irritation, it can easily be due to harmful bacteria or viruses that easily spread to other people. And hand washing can limit its spread. So also, you know, try and remember to always wash your hands. Well, these are just some, some of the common summer diseases that one should be aware of and be on the lookout and take the necessary precautions, inshallah. Well, that brings us to the end of health news. And we're now going to continue with the program, The Growing Child. With me in the studio is Sister Fatima Dawood. And today we're going to continue with the same trend, hopefully, to speak about summer, how to keep your baby comfortable in the summer heat and also how to prevent some of those heat-related illnesses. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to The Growing Child. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. My guest is Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. Assalamu alaikum and jazakallahu khair for joining us, Sister Fatima.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, it's nice to have you with us again. It's been a long month.
Yes.
Okay, yes, we're certainly going to be talking about the heat that we're experiencing now, but how to keep our babies comfortable during the summer heat. And I'm sure there's many parents out there that, and lots of babies out there that are also feeling as we are feeling very hot. So can you imagine what these little ones are feeling like? Now, whether you spend it inside or in the great outdoors, summer is a tricky season for keeping an infant safe and comfortable. Overdress a baby and he could develop an angry heat rash, expose his fragile body to too hot conditions, and he could be vulnerable to a painful, damaging sunburn or even heat stroke, or a serious affliction characterized by a high fever and rapid breathing. Now, overheating has also been linked to sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, and it's a fatal sleeping disorder. Babies sleep deeply when they're hot, making them difficult to arouse, which may increase the risk of SIDS. And, this is explained by many of the pediatricians out there. So to make sure your little one stays cool and protected during the long, hot summer days, check out what some of the experts normally have to say. But today we have Sister Fatima with us in the studio. Inshallah, she will be giving us some wonderful advice with regards to this. So, assalamu alaikum once again. Jazakallahu khair for joining us, Sister Fatima. And yes, we're not going to waste time, you know, with this heat that we're experiencing right now. And it's a heat wave that we are actually experiencing. And we know as adults how, you know, how hot and how uncomfortable we're feeling. So how do we help these little babies actually stay cool and protected during this time, this very hot time that we're experiencing?
Zeenat, you know, I think in every home there's a thermometer. I think this is a modern way of living now.
I don't think all homes have it.
Most of them have got it. And you know why I'm saying that is it's a good gauge to see what the temperature is in the house. The reason being that we are adults. Sometimes we can take more heat than a child can. So we can't gauge that very well. Sometimes we feel we are not that hot, and yet for the baby may be overheated, and we won't realize it because we're not feeling cold. But if you have a thermometer in a home, you'll more or less know the normal temperature, the cold, and when the heat, you know, when the temperature rises, then you know there's something wrong here. You may not be feeling well, so you may be feeling cold.
Mm-hmm.
So what we normally do as adults, what we feel, we pass it on to our children. When we feel cold, we overdress our children. When we feel hot, we take off everything on the kids. Have you noticed that? That sometimes you look at the child and say, but you are really overdressed now. Mommy is not feeling well, so she feels, you know, the child must be kept warm.
And I think as you grow older, we tend to feel a bit more cold. You find older people feeling cold. Not cold, but, in this heat, obviously not, but you will find older people would always be carrying their little jacket and everything around, and we expect little ones to also feel that way sometimes.
That's right. Now, you feel that because as you get older, your fat diminishes in your body, and when the fat diminishes, the fat keeps the body warm, and when, as we old people are, we're much thinner than the young people, and you feel more cold, and this is where the cold comes in. So if you're feeling cold, so you feel everybody else is feeling cold, and it's not so. And with this heat, like I said, it's good to have a thermometer at home, so that you can gauge the heat, especially with children.
Mm-hmm.
Not only babies, toddlers as well, because children can dehydrate within minutes.
Okay, yes, we're going to be talking about that in a little while too. I can just ask you more or less, you know, how does the body actually regulate temperature?
Look, the chemical balance is in the body. With an adult, it's matured. With babies, it's not. The baby's regulation mechanism of the body is not matured at all. They are still growing. They still have to get used to the environment. They have to get used to the heat. They have to get used to the cold. They have to get used to that home they are in, because they're born into a new environment. They come from a very warm, comfortable environment. Because remember, inside the womb, if it's very hot, it's cool inside. If it's cold outside, it's warm inside. So the temperature remains the same there. It's a comfortable temperature for the growing baby. When it's outside, they have to fend for themselves.
Yeah, and another thing that many of our homes have is those air conditioners.
Not very good. Air cons, you know, it's good for adults because when you're feeling very hot, it cools you down very fast. But with babies, you can't use that. Don't use artificial heat or artificial cold where children are concerned. You can keep a place cool without using the artificial mechanisms. Like keeping the window open, be careful of drafts again with the window. But if you keep a baby in a cool corner, the other very important thing with babies, of course, is the dressing. Don't overdress the children, don't underdress them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't dress the baby according to what you feel as an adult. If you feel cold, so you dress the baby warm. If you feel warm, you dress the baby cold. It's not so.
So basically, ventilation, good ventilation plays a very important role. If you have a home, try and open all the windows. Try and, you know, for the wind, alhamdulillah, to blow across, blow into the house and things like that.
Cross ventilation.
Yeah.
Cross ventilation, very important, because the wind blows and it blows out the
windows,
the cold air, and the clean air comes in. But baby must not be in the crossfire.
Yeah, especially babies. Especially babies must not be in the crosswind.
Because then they can really get sick.
Okay, another problem is, and we've heard about things like this happening, is leaving babies or children in the cars.
That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Remember?
You know, it's very hot in a car, especially if you think of it, if you sit in a car right now with those, and it's just extremely hot in the car.
Don't even think about it. And you know, it's become a criminal offense now. If you leave your baby in the car in any place around town, and if a policeman comes there, they arrest the parents. Your child is not supposed to be left in any closed area. You remember, children haven't got the key. Our car is now, before it was very easy because we had the manual opening of the window and the manual closing of the window and the manual opening of the door and closing the door. Where the door you open, you lift up the latch and you can go out. But now this is because the key does that. It is done automatically.
Mm.
And with automatic the automatic cars, they have to have a key in it. And what we do as adults, we're scared that our car's going to be stolen. So we lock up everything and we take the keys with us. And you leave the baby to sleep because the baby's very comfortable and it's safe in there for you. Because nobody's going to come into the car. And if anybody touches the car, the alarm goes off. So your baby is very safe there.
Mm-mm.
But definitely not thinking that it's the worst thing you can do. Remember, the first thing that baby does, any child in a home or anywhere, this we always say, protect your children in a cot. Protect them that they mustn't fall out. Protect your children. Because as soon as a baby wakes up, they want to see a familiar face. The familiar face is the mother, the father, and the nanny, of course, because our children are brought up by nannies now. So that are familiar faces. If they don't see that, the first thing they do, they become hyper. And when you become hyper, you lose all your senses. Like, you know, some of us have experienced it in an accident or in a break-in or something. You become hyper and you don't know where you are. So again, imagine this little thing is in a car, screaming, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they are. They don't know they're in a car. It's not a familiar place. They've been put there. So what happens if they become hyper? And when they become hyper, they exhaust themselves because they start sweating. And when they start sweating, they lose fluid. When they lose fluid, you can collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And that collapse can lead to death.
And normally, obviously, the temperature in the car is so high. Especially,
yeah.
And then with all your windows and doors, we need to be so careful.
We've
heard about accidents
don't
like that happening.
Don't even think for a minute that I'm going in and I'm coming out.
No,
there's
work.
No such thing as that. I'm locking this child in. Within a minute, I'll be out because I'm just going to pick up something and I'll be out. In that split second, you can lose your child.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Good ventilation is very important, but we should also be very careful of leaving our children in cars. You know, even if they are a little bigger than babies, even if they are toddlers, we can never ever make a mistake like that.
Isn't it, you know, that with the car seats now, they got them for toddlers as well.
Mm.
This for babies and for toddlers. Why do they make things for toddlers? Not because of, you know, the fanciness of the car. It's because toddlers need protection.
Mm.
They need that protection.
Safety and precaution.
So safety and precaution for toddlers is very, very important. Because for a toddler to open the door and fly out, it's and remember something, these are growing children. They are inquisitive children. They are learning children. They want to do what the parents do. They want to do what the elder brother does. They want to do what the neighbor's child is doing. So when they get the opportunity of being in the car, the most dangerous the most dangerous place a child can be in is a motor car.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue talking about how to keep our babies comfortable in the summer heat and also hopefully share with you some preventative measures as we go along. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments.
تیرے خدا کے آگے رونا ذلت ہے تیرے خدا کے آگے رونا ذلت ہے تیرے خدا کے آگے عشق بہانا تیرے خدا کے
Sister Zenit and Sister Fatima bring you The Growing Child, a series of programs on child development from birth to 12 months. The Growing Child, a program to help moms and babies get acquainted.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, welcome back to the Growing Child. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and my guest is Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. We're talking about how to keep our babies comfortable during the summer heat, inshallah. Okay, now, we spoke about, you know, how important good ventilation is and how important it is for to be aware of the kind of temperatures that we have in our houses and what the temperature is outside. And another important thing is dressing. How do we dress our babies? How important is the right clothes?
The first thing you must remember is that babies don't perspire. You notice that they don't, because they haven't got the perspire mechanism yet, because they're still babies. So if they don't perspire, what happens to us is when we perspire, we cool our body off. Babies don't perspire. So what they do is their temperature can rise to a height very, very quickly. So dressing a baby is very important. Dress them comfortably according to the weather. Warmer in winter and cooler in summer. But the other thing that you must remember is the ventilation. There must always be a cool breeze coming into the room, not directly onto the child, but away from the child, but you keep the room cool. Dressing a baby, you dress them cool. Don't underdress and don't overdress. A baby must be kept warm and comfortable, because like we said, the mechanism hasn't matured yet, the perspiring mechanism or the heating mechanism. So you must keep them comfortable. Cool in summer and warm in winter. Don't overdress. Don't underdress.
It's very important. And I think, would you say, okay, if we're talking about dressing them cool, say it's very hot, what do you put on for a little baby?
Look, a thin vest, because like we said, the mechanism is not there yet, you know, the heating on. So just keep them warm. And a cool, something cool over it.
Cotton.
And then cotton is very cool. Nylon is very hot. Nylon, you can't breathe through nylon. But cotton, you can breathe through cotton. So cotton is something that's good for the clothing and good for the cover. Like the cot cover, the seat cover. Cottons are good for that because they can absorb and they are cool.
And I think also with regards colors, to put on very light colors.
Light colors, yeah. Mm-hmm. Light. The creams, the whites. Dark colors are hotter. Mm-hmm. They do heat. They attract heat.
Okay. There's just one thing that during the 7 months, obviously, and when we always have the problem of mosquitoes. You know, much as we would like to dress our children very lightly at night, especially. You know, you have to sometimes then dress them with longer pants or long sleeves so that the mosquitoes don't get hold of them, especially when they are so small. So how do you protect your children from these mosquitoes?
Mosquitoes, the best thing to protect your children is to cover the windows. Cover it with a very fine mesh. Mosquitoes can come through a very fine hole. So your mesh must be fine, but air must be able to come through. And with the mosquitoes is, keep your doors closed. Mosquitoes normally come out after the sun sets. Look, before the sun sets, we're always cleaning up and closing the doors and closing the windows. That's the time you must do. Close the windows, keep the windows open that's got a net on. If there's no net on it, then of course you'll have to close. But you must have a place where ventilation comes through. You must have ventilation in the room. And the thing that you never use in a child's room or in a baby's room is your repellents.
Mosquito repellent.
Please don't use that, because that thing can actually choke a child to death. Because with us, we choke with that. And what we like doing is to put the repellent on as soon as the sun goes down, put the repellent on in the room. That thing doesn't die off, it stays in the air. And this can cause a problem with the child. It can cause a problem with breathing. And it can cause problems with rashes as well, because repellents land on the baby's skin and you can have rashes with it. So repellents are not very good. What you do is, and with babies, of course, it's a net over the cot.
I think
make a habit of a net over the cot, and you get the bed net. the what do you call it, the mosquito nets that you can hang from the ceiling onto your bed. Those are excellent repellents. Okay. Instead of using these artificial ones, those are good things to use.
Okay, so basically what we should do then is just, like you said, cotton pajamas, cotton nighties, things like that for little ones. But you know, another problem that I have, or another concern rather, is with regards to newborn babies. How do you dress newborn babies? How do you wrap them up?
Look, newborn babies, their mechanism of coldness, what it hasn't matured yet. They still used to that very comfortable, warm womb that they come from, moist, comfortable, warm, oxygenated. That's what they used to. We must do the same with that. Keep them warm. Don't overheat. Babies do not perspire. They don't know how to perspire. The mechanism hasn't matured yet. So we must keep them warm, away from
draft.
The draft is the most important, away from a draft, away from cross windows. If it's in a nice little corner, a cool corner, and with the windows open, the far end of the baby, use that. But like I said, on the windows, use the nets on the windows. And the other very important thing is to wipe the floors with water. Dust also encourages mosquitoes. Dust causes discomfort of the baby as well. So with the floors, a simple water solution just to wipe off the dust. And the furniture as well. Wipe with water and not with any detergent. Because detergents are really not good for newborn babies.
Okay. The clothes plays a very important role. The ventilation plays a very important role. Now, what about dehydration, and how easy is it for little babies to become dehydrated?
Babies, the mechanism hasn't matured yet. So for them to dehydrate, they can dehydrate very, very fast. And with a child as well, talking about a toddler, toddlers can also dehydrate very, very fast. Remember, if you dress a toddler, like we dress the babies, you must dress your toddlers as well. You mustn't feel the heat, but what you feel like. It's, you go according to the weather, go according to your thermometer. Dress the baby according to that. Don't overheat them, because if they perspire, the toddler can dehydrate.
So that means they're losing a lot of fluid.
They lose fluid. The babies, like I said, they're immature still, but they can lose fluid. And fluid like urine is also fluid moving out of the body, so you can dehydrate to that as well if you over-urinate. So you have to replace. You must replace fluid. How do you replace fluid with a newborn baby? The breast milk has got sufficient fluid in it for the feeding and for rehydration. The water is sufficient for both. The feed in the breast milk is sufficient for hydrating the baby and feeding the baby and for growth. With a toddler, of course, you're going to give artificial milk. Artificial milk has got water in it. It must be made in the correct consistency. The powder milk with the water. One shouldn't be less than the other one. It should be the correct consistency. The one is for hydration and the one is for feeding. Toddlers should have water to drink during the day. When it's very hot, toddlers, give them water to drink, plain water, not cold drinks.
Yeah.
Cold drinks are artificial and they're harmful to the body. So plain, clean water.
And should the water actually be very cold? Because many people, as adults, it's so hot, and I think we keep those jugs of water in the fridge. So is it advisable to give little children water from the fridge?
Fridge water should never be given to children. It's very cold. If the body is so hot, and remember the mechanisms are not very matured yet, you give them ice cold water like that, they can catch a deathly cold. This is where the cold comes from, is giving children this ice cold water to drink.
I think even many elders, for that matter, you know, the adults rather, also pick up a cold from drinking too many cold things, because what we tend to do is to you know, because it's so hot, you'll put a lot of ice in your drinks, and sometimes that ice really is not good for you. It catches your throat.
If you look at it like that, it's the older people as well. You must remember the resistance of the older people goes down to toddler size. You know, it goes down to that, because as you grow older, your resistance drops. And with the older person, when they drink this ice cold water, they do get bronchitis, never mind the cold. This is where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So very, very cold water is not sensible.
And especially for children. I
you
think
drink the normal
that.
Tap water. Doesn't have to be boiled, because we've got inborn water now, which is sterile.
Mm-hmm.
And just drink from the tap. We're just fortunate that we've got clean water in the taps. Drink from the tap. And if you drink cold water from the tap, it actually satisfies the body. If you drink very cold water from the fridge, you feel like drinking and drinking, because it makes you thirsty.
Okay, so then that's hydration, very important to keep your child hydrated all the time.
And as you drink water, you must remember, as you drink water, the body absorbs, and it absorbs into the body, and it prevents the dehydration. That's how dehydration is prevented, is by drinking water, you know, sips at a time, and it absorbs.
Okay, with regards outdoor activities, you know, what is the best time for children to play outside, and what precautions should they take when they are playing outside? Or even with babies, if you're going outside, what precautions should we as parents take?
I don't think there's any activity for children in the heat of the day. I don't think there's any activity. It's normally the adults that can take it, but with children, they shouldn't be in the open sun. Number one, the ultraviolet rays is no good for the skin. Not good at all. It actually damages the skin. So children shouldn't be out. With the heat, what we feel is we put on short sleeves and short, you know, little thin clothing, and the child can go out. You dehydrate your child. It's no good for the skin, not at all. So children should be in the shade always. And not in the heat of the shade as well. In a cool shade.
So
away from the sun.
Mm-hmm. And also, this can prevent sunburn. I mean, if they're in the sun all the time, children may tend to get burned badly. And even if they're in the shade, I think another important thing is for us to remember to put the sunscreen on for our children every day.
Yeah, but be careful of sunscreen as well. Use a good sunscreen, because that can also damage the skin. You know, children are growing. It's not like an adult skin which is matured. Our skin is matured, so you put anything on it, it will slip off. With children, they are growing, they absorb.
And
it can
delicate.
Damage into the skin, and the skin is very delicate. And the toddlers are as delicate as the babies are. So be careful of sunscreen as well. You can damage the skin.
I think also a very important thing is, although we have our children, even if they are in water, in the swimming pools and things like that, they still need to put the sunscreen on them. They have to.
Yes, because you remember the pools have got HDH in. And HDH is there to keep the pool clean, not our body clean. And to keep your pool blue, you put HDH more and acid into it, which is damages the skin. It actually damages the skin. So don't allow your children to swim too often and too long. And when they get out of the pool, they must rinse that water off. And then you can put your soothing creams on them to, you know, to protect the skin.
Mm-hmm. But if, like I said, if the pools are in the, well, in the open mostly, you need to put sunscreen on them. So
and the other
water.
Thing is, when you come out of the water, please do not go in the heat of the sun. Go into a shade, because the sun can burn. It actually burns the skin.
Mm, and people have that habit, even little ones, you know, when they come out, they're feeling cold, and then they go and lie on the side of the pool in direct sunlight. That actually is not good for them.
And if you notice it, how fast does the skin get brown? How fast does it get brown? So
sunburn.
You sunburn very, very fast.
Okay.
And it hurts. Mm. Sunburn is painful.
Okay, now with regards sunburn, since that's also one of the problems that arises as a result of this very hot weather that we're having, how do you treat sunburn?
Sunburn is actually dangerous. That's why they always say that use a protective lotion for your children when they go out in the sun, when they go out to the pool, when they go out to the sea. Use protective lotions on your children. I'm saying protective lotion, but be careful of what sunblock you're using. Don't damage the skin more. Children's skins are very, very delicate. So use something good for them. When you use it, they mustn't go into direct sunlight. Direct sunlight burns. The ultraviolet ray burns the skin. So that alone. And as far as sunburn is concerned, what is sunburn? You must remember your skin, you've got three layers of skin. The top skin which protects, the bottom one which protects. Now you're burning the fluid, the solution, the lotion that's keeping your body smooth and supple. You're burning that away. When you burn that away, obviously it's like a scald. Like you pour something hot on it, burns the skin. So you're burning the skin to the bottom layer. And when it comes to the third layer, of course, the fluid of the body is gone. And what has happened there, it actually burns the skin to the bottom. And that is a scald. It's a burn. So you treat it as a burn.
Okay, so basically...
So it's how dangerous it is. It's dangerous for children because you're hurting them. And it burns terribly. And the more lotion you put on, the more the child screams because you're burning what has happened here, all your nerves are now exposed.
Mm.
And you're putting these lotions directly onto the nerve.
So the best thing then to do if your child or whoever is sunburned should actually go to a doctor immediately and have it seen to.
And sometimes it gets so bad that you have to actually give the child fluids. You have to give an intravenous drip because, you know, to rehydrate this child.
Sure.
They're very dangerous things for children. And you must remember, children are not matured enough to handle these things. We maybe, our skins are now matured over the years to handle heat, cold. Children are learning still. They are maturing still. So this is what you must take into consideration as far as children are concerned. And when you're going on holiday, take this into consideration. What do I need to protect my child? Not what do I need to make my child look beautiful on the beach or in town. What do I need to take with to protect the child?
Okay. We're going to take a short break. When we return, we continue with our program. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, The Growing Child. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. My guest is Sister Fatima Tawad, our community nursing sister. And today we're talking about how to keep our baby comfortable in the summer heat. Now, we spoke about the importance of keeping your baby hydrated all the time. But Sister Fatima, how would you know that your baby is dehydrated? What are the signs and symptoms of dehydration?
Signs and symptoms of dehydration is very important. Because there's different signs of dehydration. It's severe dehydration, how to treat it. If it's a mild dehydration, you know how to treat. With dehydration, what you do have is the first thing the child will say, I've got a headache. Now, for children to have headaches doesn't make sense. The first thing you look at is, where is this child at this time when he's complaining of a headache?
Mm-hmm.
Are you on the beach? Are you at the poolside? Are you at a picnic spot? If you're at home, in your home, and the child has complained of a headache, that's a different type of headache. Maybe the child is getting a flu or not feeling well, or ate something. But if it's in the outdoor, you know your child is now getting dehydrated. And when they get dehydrated, they complain of dizziness. Of course, the child is going to be very dizzy because the fluid is now been drained from the brain, from the heart. They get palpitations, dizziness, cramps. The stomach is not absorbing anymore. So what happens is the stomach is working and there's nothing else to digest there. So they do get cramps. And fatigue. Children actually can collapse. What do you do in a situation like that? Please do not take your child and dump him in a bath of water. This is what a lot of people do. They just dump them. You can drown your child like that. You can get your child into a severe shock. Severe shock can lead to death. So don't do extreme things. You know, look what's happening and think as logically, what would I do? Is this severe or is it not severe? If it's not severe, of course you're going to give fluids. What you would give is your rehydration solution. It's your liter
of water,
cold water, 8 teaspoons of sugar, and a quarter teaspoon salt. And you just give the child sips of it to drink. And this will come back in the shade. Take off the hot clothing. Keep the child cool. Just put a towel over them so that they don't get you know, catch a cold or get overheated, or just a cool cotton towel, and then you're dead. If the child is complaining of what I was saying, you know, dizziness, cramps, you know, losing dizziness, losing the consciousness, please, then you have to go to a doctor.
Don't waste time.
Then don't waste time like it, because you can lose your child. Children are like a candle, they say, the babies. You just blow and then they...
Okay, these are...
Please, these are things that you must watch for.
Okay, and in little babies, what are we looking at? Are there any other signs in little babies that will, you know, really small ones?
Little babies should not be put into direct sunlight. Even if there's an umbrella over them, please do not do it. Because sunstroke can happen in the shade as well, you know that. So with tiny babies, their mechanism is very immature. There's no cold and hot with them. They don't know what it is, and they can dehydrate very fast and collapse. Mm-hmm. So babies should not be taken on a very hot day to picnics and beaches and swimming pools. Babies should be kept indoors.
Mm-hmm.
With toddlers, of course, you just be careful with them.
Okay. You know, I think also, Sister Fatima, doesn't that little, that soft spot on the head, isn't that one of the signs that you can actually...
Dehydration,
that can
yes,
tell you whether a child is dehydrated?
Yes. If it sinks in, it makes a hollow,
yeah,
then you know your child is dehydrated.
And
that's a sign of dehydration. That's a sign of fever as well.
Yeah. So, but I
and
think
that's a sign of a baby not feeling well as well. So the fontanelle is something that you look at.
And lethargy. If your child is very lethargic, I think you shouldn't even really waste time.
No, if a child is lethargic, children are not lethargic. Mm. Toddlers are very, very active, busy people. If your child comes to you lethargic and flopping and so wanting to collapse, please you must take note of it.
And not
it's not a
time.
Naughty child, yeah. It's not a naughty child. And it's not a lazy child, and it's not a sleepy child. He's a sick child.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope those are some of the important, you know, signs and symptoms that we should be aware of. I think these are also signs and symptoms that that older people can also experience. So we need to be very careful. I mean, this heat, I think it's better that we take preventative measures rather than taking your children out and, you know, exposing them to all these conditions.
And one thing you must remember as a mother, our children are very inquisitive. They are very active and they want to know things. Please, mothers, please be careful. We had drownings in fish ponds. We had drownings in holes in the pool. We had drownings in the pond. So please be careful. When children see things, they are very inquisitive. They want to know, they want to see, they want to feel.
And experiment.
And experimenting is number one. They want to experiment because feeling, touching, holding,
tasting,
this is all. So please be very careful in the hot summer days. In a fish pond, we had drownings in fish ponds.
Yeah,
we had drownings in a bucket. So please be very careful of your toddlers, please. They're very precious to us now.
Yes, Jazakallah khair. Well, listeners, that's it then from us. Until next time. And firstly, Jazakallah, Sister Fatima, for actually coming in to do this program with us. And I think we just do this so that our listeners are aware and be on the alert and be careful at all times, inshallah. Well, listeners, that's it then from us. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.